when we see you.
It's when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away.
Here we go.
Washed away.
Lord,
we turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new.
Lord, we ask you that you make us new today.
Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises.
Sing it out.
Hosanna, Hosanna, come on your way. Welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away.
Let's sing that again.
Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away.
Here we go.
Washed away. Oh, welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Sing it out.
Hosanna, Hosanna.
Sing it.
Hosanna, Hosanna.
Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat for just a moment.
Okay, welcome, as I was trying to say, to Asbury guests and members. So glad to have you here today. Hosanna, it is Palm Sunday, as you can see, with our children bringing the palms. That represents victory. Palm branches represent victory. And today we're celebrating our victory in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's so wonderful to see you all here today. I'm glad to be here today and cannot thank enough for everybody that has reached out to us, reached out to me personally, and has held down the fort, so to speak. So thank you so much. Please note what's going on in the bulletin. We've got a lot of things going on. And please note that the youth are having pancakes going on. And what have we got back here? We've got a bake sale going on by UMW. So read your bulletin. I'm not going to go over all that. But anyway, we're so glad to have you here today. And I'm losing it again. I didn't do a thing but turn this way. I'm shorting out. On a day that I have major congestion, this is not good. I can't yell. Okay. All righty. We'll keep working on it. Okay. Yeah, okay. I'll pray on it. There. Okay, so anyway, while you can hear me, be sure and greet one another in the name of Jesus Christ, and be sure and sign the attendance registrations, and let's welcome each other with the peace of Christ.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, let it rise.
Oh, 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 let it rise.
Let the sons of the Lord rise among us. The sons of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, let it rise.
Oh, 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 let it rise. Oh, 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 let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us, let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Oh, 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 let it rise. Oh.
Voices rise.
Oh, 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 let it rise.
Glorious name. You give and take away. so much.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Okay, who do you think the most important person in the country is? Anne Marie?
God.
God in our country? Peyton?
Jesus.
Jesus? Do you think it might be the person with the most money? Maybe the best athlete? No, maybe. I think maybe the President of the United States. Do you think that might be the most important person in our country? Just today, not the overhead, but the most important person in the country. I kind of think that's who it is. And guess what? Have you ever been to a parade? Well, I think that if the president was walking in today, was coming to our city, I think we would throw him a celebration and throw him a parade, don't you think? Yeah? Can't you imagine? We're going to imagine today a parade, okay? So we're going to turn and look, and we're going to look down the parade route, okay? And we're going to pretend that we see a band coming down. Do we see a band coming? Here comes the band. And what are y'all doing when you're band? You're cheering for the band because they're pretty exciting. And then if we have the mayor, I see the mayor coming. I see the mayor and I see a congressman. They're riding in cars. Look at them coming down. And let's all cheer for them. Yay! And then we have the best person of all, our most important. We have the President of the United States coming down. He is in a shiny black convertible. And he is coming down. Let's all blow our noisemakers and let's cheer for the president. Here's our. And then, as we're cheering and we're happy, guess what? It's over. The celebration is over. And then we just go back to our normal day. That kind of happened in a city in Jerusalem, where on that day, a king was coming. And the king was not in a shiny black convertible. He was riding in, do you know what he rode in on? A donkey, very good. He rode in on a donkey. And the people were lining the streets, and they were waving the palm branches, right. And do you know what they were saying?
They said, blessed be.
Blessed be. They said, Hosanna in the highest, right? And then do you know who was riding on that donkey? Who was the king that they were welcoming? Jesus. Very good, Peyton. Jesus was coming. So Jesus was coming in. There were people in front of the king. There were people behind the king. And they were all cheering for him and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Now, that was a day that marked the beginning of an incredible week. It was a week that would see Jesus cheered. He was arrested, tried, then condemned, and then he was crucified. But as that week came to an end, another week began just as it had begun, with a celebration. And we'll talk about that next week and try to remember what that celebration was. Hey, Madeline, do you want to pray us?
Yes, please. Dear Jesus, our voices join with the voices of people in Jerusalem, some of them 2,000 years ago. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Let us go to God in prayer. Most loving Father, every week we look at our bulletins and we see the names of people that we may or may not know. But they are your sons and your daughters in need of prayer. And Father, every week we see that there are lots of people that are not on the prayer list, but they're in our hearts, and we pray for them. They are your sons and your daughters. And God, throughout the world today, there are people just like we are, people trying to do their very best, and people that are doing a pretty good job at sinning. And we are a family. We are all sons and daughters of you, O God. And we are gathered in prayer for those who need our prayers and need our thoughts. And it's not just a time where we present our needs or make our demands to you, but it's a time we also rejoice. rejoice in healings, rejoice in answered prayers. And although we find it difficult, we rejoice also in the waiting. And especially on this Palm Sunday, we think about how quickly the mood turned from victory and celebration to anger, to somber moments, sadness, shock. And then it went back to celebration again. Now, God, as we look at our lives, that kind of mirrors in that Passion Week of Christ, our lives. One moment we're on the top of the world, and before we know it, and definitely without asking, we find ourselves almost at the bottom. But you never leave us. You never stray away, even for just a moment. You always have your eye on us, loving us, guiding us, hoping that we'll listen to you and hold on to you. So, God, we just thank you for this Sabbath day, which by commandment you had us set aside to worship you. And even though we recognize it's spring break and a lot of folks are out traveling, we do pray for traveling mercies. And we do pray for those who would love to be in church, but their health will not permit it. We look around and we see those that haven't been able to be with us that are back again today, and we rejoice that their health has improved enough that in this moment, anyway, they can worship with us. We're grateful for family that are with us. We're grateful for family that are coming on Easter. We come today with grateful hearts. But being grateful is not all there is to being a Christian. We must be repentant. We must confess. We must seek your forgiveness for the ways that we have sinned against you and fallen short of honoring you and what we've said and what we've done. So we most humbly now, in our minds and our hearts, confess in silence. Oh God, we thank you that you've heard our prayers. And we lift all of this up in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're wrapping up today our Lenten missions of bringing special food items throughout the Sundays of Lent that will go to minister to the area food pantries. So if you missed a Sunday, that's all right. If you want to still contribute to the mission and, like me, have missed a couple of Sundays and weren't able to be here to bring your offerings, just feel free to write a check out to Asbury United Methodist Church and just put in the memo line Lenten food offering, and we'll make sure it gets to those food pantries. And thank you so much for your support of this project, and the people who are hungry are going to be filled because you gave. Let us pray. Most gracious Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give to you, because in presenting our gifts, it is an act of worship. It's a way of glorifying you, and it's certainly a way of thanking you. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to give to you, and we are confident and excited to know the ways that you will use these gifts to minister to the needs of your children. We pray this in the power and in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Left my the road. I hear you speak, you won't let go. I fall to my knees as I lift my hands to pray. Well, I got every reason to be here again. A father's love, it draws me in. And all my eyes want to see is a glimpse of you. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. One more day and it's not the same. Your spirit calls my heart to sing. I'm drawn to the voice of my Savior once again. Where would my soul be without your Son? He gave his life to save this earth. I rest in the thought that you're watching over me. It's all I need is you.
All we need.
Okay, we're going to be looking at the scripture in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 10. Before we do, I want to just say about three things. First of all, today we're looking at, of course, Palm Sunday, and it was a time where the people praised Jesus. But they were praising him for the wrong thing. They were praising him, thinking he was the new king that would overthrow their oppression they were experiencing from the government. They didn't realize he was coming as a king of their life to overthrow the oppression of their own personal sin. The second thing I wanted to say is we're in this Lenten series, and if you've missed a few of the Sundays, we've covered revelations that have meant a lot to us as we've thought about some things that people said to Jesus on the way to the cross. Son of David, have mercy on me. Come see the man that told me everything about me. We've looked at some of these fantastic sayings, and we've looked at them through our mouths. If we were saying that to people that don't know Jesus, if we were saying that as a result of what we've experienced in Jesus. But as Chase and I were planning this series way back in January, little did I know that not only would I be experiencing a Lenten journey with all of you, I would be experiencing my own personal health journey. And little did I know that on Palm Sunday, that I would be 2 weeks out of surgery, facing a battle that no one wants to face. And I think the Lord is so ironic, because this sermon is all about praise. And I praise Jesus today that I'm going to be well. And I just ask you to think about with me what it is that you need to praise Jesus about in your life as we go to God's Word. May the people of God be blessed in this hearing and reading of God's holy word as we find it in Matthew 21, 1 through 10. And when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has needed them.' And he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the colt and put their garments on them, and he sat there thereon. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, and all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you a message, a story actually. Thank you. A story of a village in ancient Spain. And this village had never had a visit from the king of the region. And they were so excited when they found out that they had been chosen as the village for the king to visit. Well, naturally, they wanted to do something very, very special to honor the king's visit. And they thought and they thought, and they realized they really didn't have very many resources. Most of the villagers were very poor and limited in their means. But because of the region, they realized that they did have abundance of one resource, the ability to make wine. And so they decided that they would all
get together and make their very best wine, each household. And then when the king came, they would bring the wine and they would pour it into this large vat. And the king would then be offered the greatest wine that he had ever tasted. Well, the day before the king's visit, the villagers lined up one by one down in the middle of the village, and they climbed a stairway, and they poured from their vessel their great wine, their offering, and they poured it down a tiny hole, which then emptied into a large vat. Well, the king's day finally arrived, and he was escorted into town, and he was brought down in the middle of the town square. He was escorted up, given a silver cup, and he turned the spigot, and out came what the villagers knew was going to be the best tasting wine ever. Except some of the villagers had thought, I'll just bring water, and with everybody else bringing wine, it really won't matter. When he poured the wine into the cup, he lifted it to his lips, and all that was in the cup was water. All the villagers had had the same thought. And instead of honoring and praising the king with their very best, the king was dishonored. On this Palm Sunday, it's all about a day when the King of Kings rode into Jerusalem, the Jewish capital, if you will, of the faith. And there they were, just mesmerized by this Jesus as they were gathered for Passover. And they were there to greatly honor this man because the people were giving their very best to him. And what was that? The gift of praise. The gift of praise. Little did they know that this day would mark the beginning of the end of Jesus' earthly life. He would ride in on a donkey in a parade of people in Jerusalem. He would be arrested, tortured, die on the cross, be laid in a tomb Friday night, all day Saturday, and arise in glory and resurrection on Sunday morning. But on this Passover day, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the crowd was there to celebrate the Passover, that time that they remembered of the day of Moses when the Egyptians, held in horrific bondage and slavery, were delivered by their faithful God under the hand of Moses. Now, obviously, up until this point of Passover festival, when Jesus made his entrance into Jerusalem, for 3 years he has traveled the region. He has done numerous miracles. He has touched numerous lives. He has healed. He has taught faithfully. He has told the truth. But he knew something that nobody else knew. This would be his last ride into the holy city. He knew what would happen there. He knew how he would be treated. He knew what was going to happen. But he was on a mission, and that was not going to change, no matter what the course of events. And hear what Jesus had just said days earlier. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. That's in Luke 19:10. Hosanna, the people shouted. Hosanna means save. The people cried out, don't you see, save. Yet, they didn't know what they were saying. They didn't realize that Jesus had come to save them. They wouldn't let Jesus save them. And if you were Jesus and watched the people and watched the faces, what would you be thinking? Would perhaps you be thinking, I'm here to do just that. You're shouting, save. I'm here to do just that, to save you. But again, you won't let me. You don't understand. Isn't it ironic that the crowd is clearly articulating the mission, but they haven't bought into it because they don't understand it? All they see is Jesus coming down this roadway like some kind of rock star that they're giving complete and utter adoration and praise as he rides into towns shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. You see, save or Hosanna at the time of Jesus had just become a common shout of praise to God. Just a common shout. So the people praised God for Jesus, and they laid down their cloaks down in front of him. They gathered branches from the fields and laid them down in front of him. And that's what you do for royalty. You've heard calling out the red, pulling out the red carpet. Well, that's what they were doing for Jesus. They were making a highway, if you will, fit for a king. A scene ensued. Our children this morning helped us out by kind of dramatizing what happened. The children came down in the middle of the road, and they were waving palm branches. And they're waving them because they were saying, welcome, Victor. Welcome. You are our victor. You are our king. People were throwing their cloaks around to the ground. And all of this was pretty much of a commotion, as there usually is when there's a parade for a celebrity. And what did the Pharisees do? They didn't like it. They certainly didn't recognize this man, Jesus, as any king they knew, any king they would accept. So they told Jesus to keep his disciples quiet. And then Jesus says this wonderful thing. I tell you, if they keep quiet, these very stones would cry out. We love Palm Sunday. We love it because it reminds us of a pomp and parade. We love it because we know that it's a time of joy and of celebration. We love it because we love to praise God, and God deserves our praise. We love it because God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, deserves our praise. And if people don't do it, then God's very creation is going to do it. God's very creation, the waves are going to crash in the sea. The winds are going to blow through the trees and circle the mountains. The birds are going to sing their morning songs as they wake up this world in praise to God. The flowers are going to bloom and be fragrant and cause allergies. And yes, the rocks are going to crash. If God's people do not praise him, creation will find a way to do it for us. But on that day, the people came. And they did not know. They did not know. They were praising the very Son of God who was riding on a donkey in the middle of the capital city of the Jewish faith, headed toward the cross, the cruel torture of death, not for any act he had done wrong, but because of the sins of humankind. And that includes ours. Let's dramatically switch gears a minute and think with me about the street that you live on. Just go ahead, go there in your mind and picture the street where you live. Look where the cars are parked. Look where the other homes are on your street, maybe an apartment building nearby. And one by one, your neighbors are starting to come out of their homes. And you're standing on the street yourself. And then you see something very strange. You see each one of your neighbors laying something down on the ground. And you look up, and there's a man riding on a donkey coming down your street. You see it's Jesus. You know it's Jesus. Now, ask yourself, what are you going to lay down on the ground before your Savior? As earthly angels, messengers of the gospel, we have a mission and a privilege to give praise. That's what the angels do. The angels give heavenly praise. We are the angels of God here on this earth to be engaged in mission and in praise. So, according to Scripture, hear how Scripture affirms this. It's in Hebrews in the New Testament. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. There's not a person in this room right now that has not had a pretty deep, dark moment in their life. It may have had something to do with family. It may have had something to do with career. It may have had something to do with health. Who knows? But you've been there. And I pray that you leaned on the one who called himself the light of the world to draw you out of the darkness and into the light of strength and courage again. You see, when we praise Jesus, we witness for him. Again, it's a joy and a privilege. Many of you know Megan Arnold. She hasn't been a member of the church that long. But wow, what an incredible Christian sister she is for you and for me in her witness, in her ministry. Very young woman, diagnosed with cancer, battled it with grace, dignity, and the whole time she was praising God and made sure you heard it. Made sure you didn't hear any whining, any testimony about personal pain. No. Her testimony was for Jesus and how good and strong he was for her throughout this. Jean Beth Hill, longtime member of the church, has battled cancer not once, not twice, not three times, not four times. She has conquered cancer 5 times. And there are so many others that have so many other stories to share. And they see it, many of them, as a witness for their faith in Christ. What wonderful examples. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." I had to learn that as one of the first psalms I learned as a child. And our children sing a certain song that has a tune that goes to Psalm 100. Who doesn't love to hear the children sing? Certainly Jesus loves it the most. For unto such is the kingdom of heaven. So again, I ask you the key question I asked a moment ago. If Jesus was coming down, riding down Napa Valley, and we're all going out of the church about the same time, what would you lay down before him? And maybe to answer that question, we need to talk about what possibly stands in the way of us offering our praise. Sometimes pride can do this. Sometimes pride can keep us from truly praising the Lord. We're worried about what others may think. We feel like we're perhaps a little bit too reserved. Learning how to praise is like anything else. I think you just kind of learn it. I know that I grew up in the high church. Always had the organ, always had the hymnals, always had the creeds. And we have all of those things, of course, in our traditional worship. But we kind of stepped it up a little notch. And I was sitting next to my grandmother, who is a United Methodist minister's widow. And I always wanted to do worship just the right way. Not only because she was watching me, but that's all I knew about worship. And then the 70s hit the Jesus movement. And suddenly, we had guitars and drums in the sanctuary. And I kind of looked at my grandmother and wondered how she's going to handle all this. And you know what? She was so, well, she was always the epitome of grace. But I think she was so proud of the young people that they had found something they were excited about in praising the Lord. And it was really not until the contemporary moment or movement that I had a moment of kind of evolving into praise, and never more so than when I hit here at Asbury. My family will tell you, I was not one to raise my hands, yes, Jesus, and clap my hands a lot, and feel, allow the Spirit to just bubble up. I was just having a hard enough time for people getting over the fact I was a female preacher. I mean, I sure didn't want to, you know, sure didn't want to rock the boat any further than that. But pride sometimes gets in the way of what we already feel in our souls. We're just worried about what other people would think. And that really kind of ties into the next one. Maybe fear is a part of it. Fear, sometimes we don't praise because we don't feel comfortable. And we're, again, worried about what other people are going to think. And, you know, Tony and I love to sing, and we sing with gusto, and we have embarrassed our daughters for years singing loudly. But they also are great singers. Son-in-law's a great singer. But for some reason, if we're out in the divine worship and we're singing, invariably after the service is over, someone either in front of us or was sitting behind us will say, "Oh, I heard you singing." Well, you can interpret that as, "Oh, you sang so good," or you can interpret it the complete opposite way. But we come by it naturally, not only because we like to sing, but my parents were in the chancel choir for 40-some-odd years. His dad was a good singer, had a great voice. My grandmother, every day of the world, I sat next to her in the pew, and she had a very robust alto voice. I can still hear her singing a couple of the old hymns. But, you know, that's praise. That's not pride, like, listen to me sing. That's like the joy of the Spirit, of the truth, of the gospel, because the hymns and the praise songs, that's what those words are. They're the truth of the gospel. Doubt may be another thing that keeps you from praising. Peter couldn't really worship and praise the Lord until he got over his denial, his self-doubt. The blind man couldn't really praise Jesus until he was healed and, "Oh Lord, help me with my unbelief." The woman at the well really couldn't go and praise the Lord in the village until she pursued that conversation with Jesus and got the right answers. She thought it was a history lesson until the conversation got pushed a little further, and then she got it, and then she couldn't wait to go praise and tell the people, "Come see the man who told me everything about me." And the last one is like other. What else in your life is blocking you from really praising? And what is real praise for you? You know, we get pretty tied up in all of our schedules and all of our demands of our time and all the things we need to do. We get pretty tied up in our activities. Not that I take attendance when you stay over on Sunday after a Saturday night Razorback game. We get pretty tied up in our things. Finally was able to buy that bass boat. Preacher, I'll see you in the fall. Tell Jesus about it. Not on me. You know, so we get kind of caught up and distracted in a lot of things. Where is our praise in that list for Jesus? Again, Palm Sunday means victory, a time to remember your victor, a time to remember the one who has given all to save you. How are you expressing your spiritual victory? That's not a question you ask yourself every day. How am I expressing my personal victory in Jesus Christ? The Psalms are a wonderful book in the Bible, the Old Testament, and it's a book on nothing but praise. And I was going to read you all of the 150th Psalm, and aren't you glad I'm not? So I'm going to just read you the last few verses. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So praise him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And in case you didn't get it, the psalmist says it again. Praise the Lord. When I think back to that final time that Jesus was in Jerusalem, when I think about that first Palm Sunday as we know it, my mind goes to some thoughts. You know, a coat laid down on the ground for a donkey to trample over it wasn't worth anything anymore. And no one, and I mean no one, had a closet, much less full of cloaks. So when they laid down that cloak, they made a sacrifice. For the people on Palm Sunday praising Jesus, it cost them. Maybe it cost them a day of labor, which would be a day's wages. Maybe it cost them that cloak. For the children, it didn't cost them anything. It cost them energy, maybe, to praise with those palm branches. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. It's fitting, isn't it? For someone who gave up their life so we could have eternal life. Sacrifice of praise. This Holy Week, what are you going to do? What are you going to lay down in praise to Jesus? And in your spiritual journey for the rest of your life, because it's not a once a year kind of thing, what are you going to do that honors Christ's sacrifice through your own personal sacrifice? It's all about praise. Lift your hands up, put your hands together and clap. Say out loud, thank you, Jesus. Say out loud, praise the Lord. But you have an opportunity to witness your heartfelt praise. It should simply be as much as an echo of the soul. I didn't used to feel comfortable doing that. Now, you'll have to get a restraining belt. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, on this Palm Sunday, we are so thankful to join our praises along with our celebration singers and band. We're so thankful that every week we have the privilege of coming to freely worship you, Lord, to freely worship you and to express our love for you. That's really all you want. Just like anybody else that gives somebody something, it's just nice to be thanked. May our praise to you be genuine, consistent, heartfelt, and often. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As the celebration singers and band lead us in our closing song today, if there are any today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways that we receive members, if the Lord's Spirit has touched you and you feel like renewing your profession, if you feel like coming forward to pray, just let me know. I'd be happy to join with you at the prayer rail and to pray. But let us be standing as we pray and praise, because Jesus is watching.
All right, let's put our hands together.
Can you hear? There's a new song ringing out from the children of freedom. Every race and every nation, sing it out, sing a new hallelujah. Let us sing love to the nations, bringing hope of the grace that has freed us. Make it known and make it famous. Sing it out, sing a new hallelujah. Africa sings a new song, reaching out with a new hallelujah. Every son and every daughter, everyone sing a new hallelujah. Let the song arise.
I'd like for you to indulge me for just a moment. Repeat after me. God is good. God is good to me. God is good to you. Now let's go out into this world and share some goodness in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, you couldn't repeat all that part. Well, all right then. God heard it. God loves you. Let's go into the world and share his love. Amen.